advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King. Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Right, enough of the bells, Brent.
Sorry. Hell's bells.
And whistles.
Shash-a-frash. Did I whistle? I didn't hear whistle.
Did you?
I don't think so.
This mic stand's messed up.
I did like the picture of the... At least it was just you trying to stuff the mic in your mouth. It's pretty accurate.
You said mask, and then he did that. Yeah. He used the Jim Curry mask.
Yeah.
Not the 1970 Cher mask. That would have been
Jim
offensive.
Curry?
Yeah, that's the Indian version. That's the Bollywood
that's
version.
That's Brad's favorite cannibal curry.
Yes. Jim
Curry. Did I say curry? Yes, I don't even know. Yeah. Who knows? When my lips are numb, I say funny stuff. Yeah. I don't have any idea.
It's good stuff.
Jim Curry. Jim Rice Curry. That's probably a
So after the last couple of weeks of you talking shit about my over-fancified water bottles.
I know. Yeah,
you bought boxed water.
Box,
yeah. I mean, my kids don't even call it water anymore. It's just hydration now.
That's right.
That's how we call
pretty
it.
Pretty much, yeah.
What's the boxed water? It's fucking trendy, hipster. Did it come with a flat cap?
It's milky.
It's just water.
Does it taste better?
In cardboard? I bet it tastes like cardboard.
It's actually pretty good water.
It's like how you can't drink milk out of a plastic cup, because that's fucking gross. Nah. Boxed water? I mean, it's better for the environment. That's a marketing ploy.
You know what I like? How simple it's like, not a brand, you know what I mean? Like, it just says boxed water is better. Like, there's no logos, there's no fucking nothing,
right?
And is there a brand? What is the brand? Yeah,
boxed water is better.
Apparently, that's the name of the brand.
Yeah, but just like Soylent, like, there's no
right,
there's no logo.
Yeah,
it's all white, black writing.
It's definitely a very Dave product for sure.
I like that though. I like the simple, like, just yeah, I don't know.
I heard the glue's made out of horse bones, though, Dave. That's what I heard. Word on the street is.
Yep. Yeah. I wish TVs went back to black and white.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
you can. You adjust it, man. Do it.
Yeah.
Turn off the color.
Watch
man.
Everything in black and white. I think
you
want to
turn off the color.
Yeah.
I was trying to make it darker, bro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Don't hate.
So I have to say, Mexicans become black too.
I have to say, so something has been happening in my brain. Since
mine too, Dave.
The lucid dreaming episode, and it's really starting to fucking get to me, because since we did the lucid dreaming stuff on that episode, and I researched lucid dreaming and how to tell if you're dreaming or not,
mm-hmm.
like, I constantly, probably twice a week now, I have dreams where I start to have a lucid dream, but then I lose the lucidity.
Uh-huh.
Like I lose control of the dream.
Would you say the lucidity goes silent?
What you're talking about, Lucy?
It's like, so, like what happens is, because one of the things it said was to look for details, look at clocks or look at your hands. Or one of the things I said was to look out the window.
The hands on the clock, say.
Like, it said that a lot of times if you're in a place that's familiar to you in the dream, like this is your house, but it isn't really your house, that if you look outside, something will be wrong.
Right.
And I do it now all the fucking time. Right. Probably twice a week I have a dream and I'll be in the middle of something and I'll be like, this is fucking weird. Is this a dream? And then I look down at my hands and they're fucking weird.
Oh, you're saying in life.
No, this is in my dream.
Oh, okay.
And I realize, fuck, this is a dream. I can do anything that I want to, but then I can't.
Right.
Yeah.
So now I'm aware I'm in a dream.
Cause fuck you.
And that's fuck me, it's fucked. Like, so now it's lucid. I know I'm dreaming, but then I just get stuck in weird fucking dream
loops.
You know
what that is?
And like, so it's like I become aware and then I can't wake up. And I'm like, this is fucking shit.
That's like, life why can't going, that's I wake life up? Going, not even in your dream.
Exactly. Yeah.
You ever had that dream where you're just punching somebody in the face and nothing's it's happening?
Slow-mo though. Mine's like quicksand punching.
No,
like,
I know exactly what you're
fast.
Talking
like,
about.
I'm like fucking pow, pow,
and it doesn't. Have any
and
effect
they're just
on
sitting
it.
There, yeah. like looking at you, and no. nothing happens. Yeah. Like I ever since the lucid dreaming episode, though, I haven't dreamt at all. Like, I don't dream. So
it happened last night. It was like the most powerful I've had last night. It lasted so fucking long. I knew I was dreaming.
Me too.
And I just couldn't. Yeah. I just couldn't fucking. I couldn't control anything, and I couldn't fucking wake up.
Two nights ago, I did the whole like go home from work, fall asleep on the couch for a second, and had a dream right away, which is not supposed to work. It's supposed to be like 2 hours before you enter REM sleep before you can have a dream. But I had it right away, and it was a dream.
Fell right into
it was a dream that I was cracking safes. I was trying to break into safes, but it was my job or something weird. And then last night, this one's weird. I had a dream that my son used all his eight used all my eye drops as nose spray. Mm-hmm. He was running around with eye drops on his nose. I was like, dude, my eyes are really red. I needed those, and you used them all for your nose spray. And then I woke up, and then I went to my daughter's soccer game this morning, and my mother-in-law pulled out nose spray, and I was like, what the fuck? I haven't seen nose spray in someone's hand into their nose ever, maybe.
Yeah, that's like one of those things, like you buy a car, and then all of a sudden you start seeing that car everywhere. It's like the same.
Do you think, how common is it someone has nose spray?
I just think you're the the world's least important psychic.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I could have told you that was going to happen.
Spray. I knew it yesterday.
Yeah. Emma, excuse me. How are your allergies today? Were you thinking about reaching in your purse? Weak.
Oh, man.
Is your card the ace of spades? Nose spray? Yes.
She's got nose spray and you still got red eyes.
Yeah.
Damn it.
That's the worst. And so, I don't know where it's going to happen either.
Exactly.
It's useless.
Exactly.
It is so useless. We're going to talk about Chicago again. So
Everything
is planned.
El Yucateco, the trip for the meetup at the House of Blues in Chicago is confirmed for December 9th from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. And I know a lot of people are like, fucking Chicago. But the most people, you know, demographically were able to attend there. And we looked up plane tickets. Dude, plane tickets are really cheap. So from like LAX to Chicago round trip right now is like $150. So that might be a lot of people a lot of money for a lot of people.
Well, that's actually
a lot of money for me, you know.
That's also a really cheap travel window. Yeah. Like, 'cause everybody travels at Thanksgiving and then everybody travels a couple weeks later at Christmas and no one is fucking traveling right there.
Yeah. So if you're thinking in your head like, oh, it's fucking $700, it's not. It's like $150 round trip right now. Yeah. Yeah. And hotels and shit, especially probably if you trust someone in the group or something, you partner up, maybe it works out for more. I don't know, man. But you could get
two dudes in one room.
Yeah, two dudes, one room, man. That's what I'm saying. Just don't get into the refrigerator because then the Rolos, you get those Rolos, they're $9. Don't do it.
Well, that's
a little bottle
fancy,
of champagne. Yeah.
That's at a fancy hotel.
What kind of hotel
if
you going
if you
to,
stayed
man?
At one like
in Chicago, you don't go to the bad hotel.
$50. Yeah. $50.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And the guy's behind bulletproof glass. If you walk in and the guy checking him in is behind bulletproof glass, and there's a Jack in the Box next door with bulletproof glass, you're in a good spot.
You're staying at one of them high acidity Rolos hotels.
Yeah. They got that Fuji water.
That's how you know you made it, man. I can't wait.
They got Fuji hydration.
Yeah, if there's an not made for individual cell, Rolo wrapped and put on your pillow.
$6 bag of M&Ms. Yeah.
Yeah.
So dang, I stayed at the W in San Francisco.
What's the W?
The W, it's a hotel. And like they had a full candy bar. Like, I'm talking about, they probably had 50.
A whole Snickers.
Dude, I'm talking about they had 50 different candies.
That doesn't seem fancy, though. That seems
like
the grocery aisle. Like, they just put it up there on your wall.
No, that's nice. I mean, it's because that way you don't have to go anywhere. And then your whole refrigerator is stocked with waters, beers, wine.
But they charge you. They take inventory
everything.
On that
shit. Oh, fuck. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. We ate like $180 worth of fucking candy and drinks. Yeah.
barbecue chips for 17.
Well, the whole, yeah, exactly. I think I told the story that I called my buddy because the hotel room was like $1,400
like, for the night, and they can't give you a free Snickers.
No, holy shit!
It's
like $1,400.
When was this that you were making that kind of money that you're able to do that?
No, my buddy had a bunch of money and he was paying for it, and so he was in housing development. But I called him up on the room phone and I pretended like I was room service or not room service, the lady from the front counter. And I just gave myself an accent and I was like, yeah, it's going to be your bill. You need to come pay it. It's $40,073. And he was just like, what? Like he woke up from a dead sleep. And so we met up with him and he's like, hey, I just got a call from the front counter. They said my bill's like $40,000. What did you guys do?
But it won't be 40 grand. It'll be $150. Nah. So like, yeah, that might open up the window for a lot of people that were thinking like, no way can they make it, but that's as close to the East Coast as we're getting now.
The other thing you think about too, you're like, oh, I'm just going to go travel to, you know, see fucking these three dumbasses or whatever. I'm not wasting my money, but you could just make it a trip. Like, have you ever wanted to go to Chicago?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Pizza.
Take some people with you. Like, yeah, have fun.
Wind.
Yeah. No, there's no wind.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. It's called the Windy City because of politics.
Oh, I don't know.
Wait till that fucking wind hits you.
First bananas and monkeys, then Daddy Longlegs. That shit's true. Now Chicago.
That shit's true, and people are fucking.
I heard it's that you can just walk in from building to building through weird little like fucking skyscraper tunnels.
I was reading too that right now because in winter I was like, man, it's gonna suck. It's gonna be like 20 degrees, and fucking the sun's only out for 3 hours.
No, 2 degrees.
Oh, 2 degrees. It is 2 degrees. That's right. 2 degrees,
not 20.
God damn it.
Don't let that stop you. Come see us. It'd be fun. Yeah.
And there's only 3 hours of sun, so there's going to be a lot of hookers out.
Yeah.
I wonder what the hookers dress up in Chicago in winter.
You can see them. It's fucking snowball.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually have to ask them if they're a trainee or not.
Yeah.
To their face.
You have to ask them anyway.
The goods won't be on display.
You can see an Adam's apple through a turtleneck.
I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can. You can see Steve Jobs's.
Yeah, that's true.
Jobs is. Don't make us sit there and eat lonely macaroni and drink drinks.
I don't care. Yeah. I'm going to have fun.
We're in Chicago. Shoot. Yeah, I'm you can fuck off if you don't come, but it would be fun if you guys show up.
You know what? How about none of you show up? Fuck off.
Ooh, that sounds like a dare.
Ooh.
Reverse psychology. You guys don't.
We're actually, we have an octagon that we're bringing with us that Brent.
I call it the coctagon, but that's just what I do with it.
We'll be doing board short battles.
Yep.
The Coctagon.
Dan Camarillo is going to be there. That's the pre-fight matchup. So
the baby arm hunter. Oh, I hope Dan still listens.
So our topic today is Rendlesham Forest.
Rendlesham, Chestershire,
also known as Rendles Ham Forest.
Yes.
Sounds
like it's in Britain.
Even though I'm like. I consider myself fairly up on ufology.
Right.
And I had never fucking heard of this case.
Dude, so I did hear about this case, but I didn't realize it was the same case. And then when I started studying it, I was just like, Jesus Christ. This thing's kind of all over. There's he said, she said, there's a couple different nights. There's like the ancient aliens version. There's some like independent documentary
ancient
versions.
Ancient aliens?
Ancient.
Ancient.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
am I saying that wrong? All of a sudden, am I saying that wrong?
All of the sudden?
All of a sudden?
That's the normal way to say it. All of a sudden.
I've lost track of which one's right now.
So Rendlesham Forest, for other people who haven't heard of it, they refer to it as like the Roswell of the UK.
Yeah, that's some bullshit. I'm upset about that.
I am too. Yeah. But anyway, it's supposedly the biggest UFO encounter.
It's one of the most well-known in the world, like apparently.
And somehow I had never fucking heard of this thing. I don't know.
I think that's some bullshit.
Because it's that good of a cover-up.
That's right. So in 1980, late December 1980, from the 26th to the 28th, various events
This out there. I'm pretty sure they caught Santa Claus, just for the record. It was a red light. It was December 25th, technically 3 a.m.
That's true.
26th, definitely could have been Santa Claus.
That's
because we don't know.
Santa Claus.
Yeah, he doesn't break out with the whole reindeer shit.
Yeah, that's
you can't
true.
Travel fast that way.
I didn't
He's
really
magic.
Think about
that. He goes into a little red ball.
By 1982, he started having to disguise himself.
Right. Right.
I mean,
it's after that war with the Martians. Like, he was on the
can't just run around in a red robe with reindeer.
No.
Especially not with the whole Russian situation. They're not down with Santa.
Exactly. No.
They're not like Santa Claus.
No.
So the location is the county of Suffolk, about 8 miles east of the town of Ipswich, which sounds like a
Dipswich.
Something where like a horror dip story switch. Would happen.
I'm an electronic guy. That makes me think of dip switches.
But Randlesham Forest is apparently some sort of like a plantation slash conservatory for nature. Like there's a lot of nature trails through there. Like a lot of people would go there for like hiking and picnicking and things like this. But strangely enough,
it's like located, a reserve kind of.
Yeah. But it's located between two Royal Air Force bases. So there's an Air Force base on either side of the forest.
I think they're U.S. Air Force bases.
Well, no, they're actually, they're Royal Air. It's RAF Bentwater and RAF Royal. Woodbridge. So they were, but at the time, and they might still be, they were joint operations Air Force bases.
Which is funny because a lot of the U.S. soldiers that were there didn't even know it was called Randlesham Forest. They didn't know that they're, I don't know the name of the forest, man. I'm on this base, man. We just went out there because we saw light in the woods. I don't know what to call the fucking trees.
So the airmen who were involved in the most of the case were Americans because the bases were populated by both. And this was like Cold War status. And basically, from what I could tell, the Air Force bases most likely were there for basically Soviet monitoring of Europe.
I have a question. I mean, like you said, you're pretty up on the ufology. Mm-hmm. How much more popular is it in the U.S.? Like people that follow and you know what I mean? Like there's the crazies in the U.S. that go and like camp out to watch UFOs and stuff, you know, and
it's
and
pretty big in the UK.
We have Baker, you know, California. Man. You think it's big in the UK? Like
it's big in the UK. And the reason I think it's so big in the UK is that's one of Australia. The global hotspots for crop circles.
Okay.
And it always has been.
Oh, true. I didn't think about that.
But it's pretty big in the UK.
I can't remember their project. We had Blue Book. They had something.
Blue Balls.
That was their project. Yes. Mm-hmm. Horse Teeth. They shut down Project Horse Teeth in 1967. They quit looking. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what the name of the, because they had, if I can find this guy, they had Operation Horse Teeth was, I don't know, we'll get to, the British Ministry of Defense's UFO project.
That's a weak ass name.
It is a weak ass name, but it was, I mean, it was AKA an official, AKA Project Horse Teeth.
It's because they didn't want to call it that. They're embarrassed.
Right, exactly. At one point when most UFO sightings were happening, they called it, Operation Sugarfoot.
that was another. I forgot about that.
Another name for it. So both of them.
They've worked some horse into anything. Dukes of Hazzard, fucking Ned Kelly, British fucking UFOs.
How do you remember that and can't remember where your fucking keys are?
Yeah. Italian restaurant. Do it. Come on, do it.
Fregatti's.
Alfredo. Yeah. I knew he had to have something. Dave, make a horse work in this situation. Chuck E. Cheese. Ball pit.
What's a horse cock sound like?
Quick, go.
Oh. You mean very similar to a dildo gun.
Yeah, it's very similar. That's what they. Yeah,
dildo gun's a little hollow.
Yeah, it's just wetter on a horse cock because it's organic.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, there's some Fremunda down there.
Duh.
Mm, you get hit with a horse cock. That sucks.
Yeah.
I'd rather be shot with a dildo gun.
It only sucks if you're down.
True statement.
It gets a felony, though. So December 26th at about 3 a.m., there was the first guy who allegedly saw something. And it is, I will admit, even the, like there are parts of this story that I think are some of the best documented that I've seen in looking at UFO stories. And there's parts of it that are just fucking wackadoobie-doo.
Like that's every UFO story.
But this one does have like a lot of fairly good evidence that some, like there's evidence that something weird happened. Fucking shit was in those woods.
I mean, it's kind of like the fire in the sky story. Right. You know what I mean? Like there's some kind of evidence.
Yeah.
There's some weird shit. There's some stuff on the trees, you know, but
so some kind of shit went down in these woods that freaked out the airmen and for a reason, I think.
The problem is some of the witnesses don't back up the other witnesses, but it could be out of fear because they told them fucking bullets are cheap at one point in time.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll get there. So on December 26th at 3 a.m., there was one of the U.S. airmen first class, a guy named John Burroughs, was guarding the front gate of the Woodbridge Air Force base, and he saw flashing lights descending and moving around in the tree line. So he called his immediate supervisor, who was Staff Sergeant Jim Peniston, And these are the main two guys that first night were Penniston and Burroughs. They bring along another guy.
I want to believe him, man, because like, damn, his shit's real. But his story may change over time during some
right,
of this.
Yeah,
that's gets, the guy gets, that I'm yeah. like, damn, if that's real, yeah. that's cool as fuck.
Yeah. The other thing is, I think like when I was doing the research, I started to see kind of two phases of the story. There was the initial phase that came out in the 1980s mm-hmm. that seems to be much more corroborated and lines up with everybody. But it seems like in the 2000s,
everybody's got their own book.
Everyone's got their own book and everything gets fucking weirder. So yeah. I well, look at those
it's
early.
It's popular. Exactly. And so now people are trying to get money out
but
of
the,
it.
So I'm more curious in these earliest accounts because they're kind of a fucking trip. And then even the same people, when they make later accounts in the 2000s, yeah. they sort of start to lose their credibility from what they were saying in 1980.
Which I bring back the fire in the sky thing. That guy kept the same story.
Right.
Fucking from the beginning. Right. So this is a little different on that end.
It's not even like these guys change the story. They just start embellishing it and adding more and more.
Yeah. Which
details.
Is bullshit. Yeah, yeah. Like that's bullshit though. Yeah. You keep it the same.
There's
like,
some shit where they have nothing to gain. And in some places, like on some of these witnesses, it's like, it's fucking up their military
right.
career.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marriages. Like yeah. there's like a suicide at some point in time by one of the guys. Like, so it's like if they would have kept their mouth shut, they would have been better off.
They would have been better off. Yeah.
So why would they do it? You know what I mean?
Hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah. Maybe.
So Burroughs and Penniston are going out and then they end up getting another airman first class named Edward Cabinsag.
And no and way.
Cabinsag.
He's Filipino.
I didn't see that.
And they he loves
Filipino.
His favorite browser is Firefox, just so you know.
Firefox, yeah.
Filipino. Because Google Chrome got all fucked up, so just so you know. So,
and then they also get Master Sergeant J.D. Chandler. So there's four guys on the initial sighting just after 3 a.m. And they end up moving into the woods. And once they get about a half mile in, they start to see even more lights and more varied colors. So now they're reporting that they see white, red, yellow, and blue lights moving around the trees in a very fast fashion. And
the animals are in a frenzy. They said,
yeah, the animals go into a frenzy and then will like suddenly just fall all simultaneously yeah. silent.
Like the forest was extra alive in a nearby barn or something. They could hear the animals.
Right.
And something that they described as a woman's scream.
Yes.
But someone later said, oh, that's this type of deer. They have that type of fucking, like if they get scared, yeah,
they scream.
It's the, yeah. Ooh, my pearls deer. Ooh, my pearls.
What the fuck is that? That's Bambi part two. It went straight to VHS. Nobody watched that shit.
Well, they're Britain deers.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
British deers.
Yeah, they got to worry about their pearls.
Oh, I see.
Anyway, so for some reason, they once they're in the woods, all of their radios basically cut out.
Yeah.
So they no longer have radio contact with the base. So
but he has a pocket recorder.
Not yet.
Oh, not on this one?
No,
it's not that night?
Nope. Oh, okay. That's the next night. So on this night, the Cabinsag and Chandler both head back to the base to report our radios are being jammed, possibly, and there's some weird fucking lights out there. And then the main two guys, Burroughs and Penniston, go forward to keep investigating. So two of them go back to report to the base. The other two go forward to keep investigating. So they get up to the UFO, and one of the things that I saw said that they claimed that walking became difficult as if they were walking through water that had a current pushing against them.
And I don't know if this is the time, but someone was writing on like a little black book or something, had a little notebook, and they were having difficulty with their handwriting. Like there's evidence of writing what they were seeing, and their handwriting progressed to be like Alzheimer's, crazy, shaky, Parkinson's, like it got worse and worse. They found it difficult to describe what they were seeing and difficult to assess their situation, and their handwriting became poor as they approached it.
My guess would be that was probably the next encounter.
The next one. Okay.
That was probably the second encounter.
Because well, I'll be honest, like bigger the original claim.
See, I have an issue with these being American soldiers on British soil, and they're the only ones that saw it.
No, they aren't the only ones.
Originally though, like, you know, new people have came forward now.
Well, no, but even at the time, there were British airmen who saw it. Local police saw it. Local people called
the police.
But
they saw the lights and stuff. Right, but I'm thinking this is British intelligence.
Sure. Like, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I mean, it could be fucking anything. I mean, it could be British.
Except for some of these claims, it's like, damn.
Some of it gets.
Damn, Britain. Yeah, you got that?
I don't think so. I understand.
One of the major claims, you'd be like, nah, that's not British intelligence.
Yeah, but that's a claim.
Yeah, right? The whole thing's a fucking claim. Yeah, yeah, right. We'll see.
So they end up moving into Burroughs and Peniston end up moving into a clearing where all the lights seem to have coalesced and gotten stronger. So they get down to this clearing. And when they get there, this is a, I'm not sure where this claim came in. I feel like it came in. Mm-hmm. I feel like this claim came in later, but Burroughs apparently is engulfed by a beam of light and loses consciousness.
So I didn't see loses consciousness. I saw that he like ran out towards the light and then the thing like enveloped him. And then the thing just like took off rapidly and disappeared.
Well, that was from his apparently that was his perspective of it.
Oh,
but Peniston's perspective is different.
Right.
Peniston says that he walked all the way up to it and that he saw a triangular craft on the ground.
Right.
It was 3 meters, you know, on all sides of the triangle, and 3 meters high. There were lights on all the sides of it and a glowing white light on top. Peniston claims that he walked up and touched it. And that when he touched it, the light on the top got more intense.
So it's not 3 meters from what I have. I mean, I watched things with like diagrams and shit and I copied it down. It said it was, it is 3 meters. I'm sorry. It's 9.8 feet,
yeah,
3 meters.
9.8 feet.
And that the platforms in which it landed on were 7 inches in diameter.
Right.
Because they find depressions. So yeah.
Yeah. So they find depressions in the ground.
They both had
later.
It pretty similar. They said one of them said there was like a red light pulsating on mm-hmm. top, white or blue lights coming from beneath, but both of them have the same translucent, like weird, color thing and the touch thing right here is a trip. You think it's the Apollo?
The Apollo.
The picture they showed
was like weird. It had this funny triangle. It didn't look very futuristic. It was kind of like janky. You're like, man, really? Right. They make that out of plywood? Like the picture was kind of weird. But Pendleton, when he touches it, says, and not all the interviews. I watched a bunch of interviews, but on the Ancient Aliens interview, he says he has a vision of binary code. Did
and
you see that?
This came out in 2010.
So I'm like,
that's the thing. This is what I'm saying, where there's like the
later
two
on,
ways.
Because what he said like, was that he kept a journal and he kept it to himself for
was
like
was there binary in 80?
Yeah, there's binary. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Binary existed. Yeah. So that he kept it to himself that entire time and that he kept in like that when he placed his hand on it, in his mind's eye, he saw binary code.
Like a picture. 16 pages worth of binary code.
6 pages. Six pages.
That would have been something that he would have put in an original account.
But here's the crazy thing.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And apparently he just casually mentioned it to an interviewer in 2010. Oh, yeah, I've got
and
this
the original
binary.
Guy.
And they were like, you do? And he was like, yeah, I never really thought it was important until right now.
Yeah.
Like,
really? The original guy that investigated it said he never mentioned even touching the craft, to be honest.
Right.
So I'm like, damn.
He's just getting further and further.
I want to be like, please, that's part's the coolest part. Because is it okay if I move on with what the binary code says?
Yeah, sure. I'll post a link. I've got a link. Because somebody ended up alleged. And this is kind of funky. I mean, I guess he has,
how would you remember the binary code?
He said that it was burned in his brain.
He said he would dream about it every
until
night.
Until he wrote it down.
Yeah. He was dreaming about it every night, and he didn't see
bullshit.
Exactly.
He said he didn't see it like 1100 or 11, like fucking Flight of the Conchords. He saw it like a picture. He would see an image like you would see a picture of like, oh, that's a tree. It's an apple tree with a house to the left. Yeah. So that's how he was able to recall it because it seemed as a picture in his
but
head.
But if it was burned in your brain, it's there. Like
so,
you'd be able to recall it at any point.
He writes it down on 6 pages of paper like fucking big blue pen, right? Mm-hmm. And then sometime in the 2000s, way fucking later, he gives it to a
computer. It's apparently in an old like 1980s.
Right.
I mean, it's in the proper artifact. It's in a 1980s era service notebook that someone from the Air Force.
And I'm a computer guy, and I'm not even quite sure how like you convert binary to hexadecimal to like alphanumeric.
I mean, you
like,
can.
I'm sure it happens. Yeah,
because like if you want to spell something, you can spell it in binary.
So there's a way that we could take a message and then translate it into binary.
Yeah, absolutely. But what you're,
I don't know, in the 2000s, that was entirely possible. He could
absolutely.
Have done it
in 2010,
no, you
there
definitely
was a fucking
could.
Search engine.
So he presents these six pages allegedly to a computer programmer, and the guy's like, I'm not going to come up with anything on this. And he transcribes it into a computer and starts
decoding.
His
name is Joe Lucy.
Oh, he's a fucking gangster. You can't trust this guy.
That's right.
So
he's
right
already
away,
lying by his name.
It comes up with a couple things. It comes up with an actual message, and it comes out to say exploration of humanity continuous for planetary advance. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a cool alien sort of weird vague message. Then it comes up with longitude and latitude, which I don't even know how to read this. 52 degrees, 9 minutes, right, something, 42.532 north, 13 degrees, 13 minutes, 12.69 west or whatever, which apparently is a sunken island out of Celtic legend that was considered the second Atlantis and referred to as High Brazil. And it was allegedly an island that was referred to having technology thousands of years beyond its time. Mm-hmm. And that they used weird sonic vibrations and some type of sound technology before it sunk, very similar to Atlantis. So I don't know. That dude could be like, because maybe he really had a UFO thing. And
well, but there were more than just that location, though.
Oh, what was, I didn't see that.
There was, I'll post a link in the show notes because there's actually like a transcription.
Turns out it was the Twinkie Factory, but prior to the Twinkie Factory, it used to be an archaeological site. Yeah.
Because the guy, Joe Luciano ends up doing a translation of what the binary says.
It says casino.
And it's actually the image I saw was pretty interesting because some of it is like, if the letter is in green, I was guessing this is probably. So it's like at one point it said the word eyes, right, and like the last ES were two part of the code that was illegible in the notebook, but he just extrapolated that that's probably what it would have said. The stuff that was in red was like, anyway, he has a whole breakdown, but yeah, it lists that island. It lists that location, which I think is off of Belize. One of the locations, and again, I look at the locations and I'm like, okay, this is like fucking tinfoil hat land, 100%. One of them is Sedona, Arizona, which is supposed to be where the fucking lizard people have underground bases and shit. The Great Pyramid of Giza, where the Nazca lines are, some crazy temple in China and some crazy temple in Greece are like the locations that are all given in that message.
China's got some shit for the record.
It does.
China's got some shit.
And then at the end, it says, eyes of your eyes, origin year 8100.
Mm-hmm. They created us.
8100.
Yeah.
That's weird.
One of the claims that one of the guys who wasn't one of these airmen said, gave a claim that he saw aliens in the woods Warren. And that they came.
He doesn't say aliens.
Right. He says
entities of some sort.
He says euphonauts.
I didn't hear that claim.
I watched a one hour
interview with that guy and a guy on stage, like spoken word. And that guy was very matter of fact, down to earth. He's like, hey, man, I've been to jail. I did drugs. I was a biker. Like, I fucking been to jail. Like, I'm going to tell you right now. He's like,
I took it in the keister.
Yeah. He's like,
I've done drugs. Keyword.
At least three dicks. It doesn't affect my decision or my memory. But no, he was just like, I have nothing to gain from this. It's ruined my life, to be honest. He's like, and he tells the people, he's like, I apologize to everyone in the audience. I'm not into ufology. Like, that kid gets kind of fucking crazy. It just happened to happen to me. You know what I mean? He's like, I didn't choose this shit. I don't want to deal with this for the last 35 years. He's like, but unfortunately, he's like, it happened to me.
Yeah.
So, and I'm just telling you, this is what fucking happened.
Right.
And he doesn't make extravagant claims. Like, someone will say, like, oh, were you contacted? He's like, no contact happened. You know what I mean? Because his portion.
I don't consider sucking an alien's dick contact.
Right.
It's the next day. So I won't jump to it yet. But when Warren comes into play, it's the other day.
Right.
It's when there's.
Yeah, that's the second. Yeah. It's the second meeting. So on this meeting, and again, I think to my reading of what I saw, up until the point that the radios quit working, two guys went back, two guys went forward. This is all in military records, et cetera. I think all this shit is a legit, what the fuck is going on? We have to go investigate these bizarre.
They thought it was a downed aircraft
because
they saw this shit float down into the forest and they went and looked, and then they found something that was either hovering or landed on legs, and then they approached it. It's pretty small too.
So Peniston says that thing about touching it and getting a binary in his brain.
He said it was black, as smooth as glass, and there was some type of hieroglyphs on the side of it.
And he even has a picture of what they look like.
He likened, and they look very alien if you were going to make a movie, you know, before there were alien movies like that, really. Yeah. I mean, there's 50s movies with foil heads.
And then the other thing is, one of the articles that I read had claimed that when Burroughs and Peniston made it back to the base after everything, they basically had 45 minutes of missing time, and even their watches were out of sync.
Right.
Like, their watches were 45 minutes off, both of theirs, and they couldn't account for 45 minutes. They thought they were just out there, saw this thing, walked right back, and apparently a whole extra 45 minutes had occurred.
Did they piss and see if it comes out in two streams? Because that's how you know if you had sex. You can find out. They'd be like, oh man, this fucker's got me, man. I'm pissing fucking double streams, man. Missing the toilet.
So that morning, they when the sun comes up, they end up, basically they tell their, base commander all this stuff. And it's a guy named Lieutenant Colonel Charles Holt.
Why do you wait till the morning, Lieutenant Dan?
Well, I think they told everybody. Holt came. I think it said that Holt came on duty at 5 a.m.
Okay.
So he comes on duty and here's this debriefing and he's like, what the fuck was going on? And he basically, which is kind of a dick move. He's like, okay, you four that are freaked out, back to the woods.
Yeah.
And he sends them out that morning to take a look at things. And they come back and they report that where they saw the alleged UFO, there were those indentations
right.
that were exactly 9.8 feet apart from each other. And they were like really deep indentations in what was otherwise hard, frozen, packed ground. So it would have been pretty significant for something to make those indentations in the frozen ground.
Weird. I might be wrong, but I think terminal velocity is 9.8 meters per second squared. Ooh. I think that's a weird number that I just so happen to know, but I think that's the number. Some physics major is going to be like, you're wrong, Van Tassel. Right.
So
they call me by my last name in the physics world.
They do.
That's how they do it. Yeah.
Also that morning, personnel from the other base, it turns out, had reported the same exact lights, personnel from both the U.S. side and the British side, as well as a ton of civilians calling the cops. And when the four airmen went back out after the sun came up, they basically encountered a bunch of cops who were in the same exact area because they had been sent there to find out what the fuck was going on in the woods because so many people were calling in. Right. So there's far better eyewitnesses than most UFO encounters.
They were just sitting around a fire singing "No Body, No Crime," though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Bastards.
So, they end up getting there, and I don't know if it was that morning or not, but apparently Peniston took a plaster mold of the landing triangles, but I'm not sure when he did that. The Peniston plaster mold,
I heard, was he was advised to forget about it and not look at it any further, and that they said, like, I don't know, whatever project could close, let's just leave it at what it is. And against better advice, he went back out on his own. Like off duty and made the plaster molds of it and took record of whatever.
And this is part of it. So at this point that morning, apparently Lieutenant Colonel Holt, they kept saying Holt.
It's Holt.
But it's pronounced, it's spelled Halt, H-A-L-T.
H-A-L-T, Halt.
But the stuff that I saw, they kept saying Holt.
Yeah.
So anyway, the Lieutenant Colonel, apparently the photos that the people took that morning were all taken immediately back for processing, and all the photos were apparently too cloudy.
Exposed.
They were white and cloudy and couldn't be developed. And when Holt got on duty at 5 a.m., he said that all of the records of what happened that night had already been listed top secret without his knowledge, but he should have known that there were service reports that got listed as top secret under his watch,
right,
and that they had all been shipped to the person who was the highest ranking U.S. Air Force person in all of Europe. All the reports were listed as top secret and sent to him. And it seems like this pissed Holt off, or like stole his thunder or something, because then he was like on a fucking rampage to find out more stuff.
Right.
Well, yeah, because he's like, what else do I don't know?
Right, exactly. So then that...
You found out about the cheese and the mice and the monkeys, the bananas, the daddy long legs, the black widows. Yeah. All these things came to light.
Exactly.
Yeah, that'll fuck your brain. It changes the world.
I'm telling you.
So then
look at everything different when everything's a lie.
On the night of the 27th, apparently, so a full day goes by, and then the following night, the 27th of December, the lights come back, and Holt is on duty. And he immediately puts a team together to go out and investigate, and he himself is on the team. So he goes out and he takes a tape recorder. And remember, this is 1980, so you're not going to bust out your iPhone and fucking film it. So he busts out a tape recorder and he tells one of his officers to bring a Geiger counter, because if this is
the tape recorder an 8-track, huh? It's probably an 8-track tape recorder.
Nah, it's just one of those little.
I think this is one of those little mini handhelds.
Oh no, no! You know what? It's gonna be the one I have upstairs.
Oh, you're right. It is. Handheld. It's probably a big handheld.
Yeah, it's a big cassette. 90
the one like from school.
I have one. I'll show you when you walk in. I have one up there. Someone recycled one.
Yeah,
and I was so sad that it wasn't in working condition.
And then one other guy, I forget the name of it at the time. It was called a Star.
Wars.
What is it called? No, it's a particular, it was like a really early, super expensive, rare night camera, like night vision camera that was like an eye star viewer.
Did
something
you say chocolate
like that.
Starfish? Is that what you're going to say?
Chocolate starfish.
That's where I was going.
So they have a Geiger counter, a tape recorder, and a chocolate starfish, and they go out to look for the aliens.
Right.
And they go out to look for the lights, and Holt himself goes out with the team. And he hits record on the tape, and you, again, I'll post a link.
The transcripts
notes.
Are available for this for his the tape
full,
recording. His
the full tape, yeah. the actual audio,
oh,
the
audio?
Tape recording is out there.
That I didn't find. I saw transcripts,
yeah. And yeah. it's kind of trippy. Like you listen to the tape, and it's like it feels like a full on military tape.
Yeah, for actually in a documentary, they were playing portions of the tape in real time for the right. reenactment. So right. that makes sense. I didn't know if it was real though.
So again, I'll post a link in the show notes to where the audio is, but it's very much he, and you can tell it's Holt is doing the recording and he's talking and he's like getting confirmation from people talking about the Geiger counter readings, like all this stuff. And apparently it goes for about 18 minutes once he starts recording and he's in the woods, but
they ran out of tape. Was he doing super high quality or something? That's 90 minutes on a cassette.
I don't know.
Maybe, maybe not in the 80s. I don't know. 30 minutes.
But again, so the animals go crazy. There's lights in the woods, the whole thing.
And they described it crazy. They said that the object was diving in and out of the woods, up and down, left and right, and it looked like it was dripping molten metal.
Yeah, and you hear them saying it on the fucking tape. Like at this point, at one point they say that the thing drops down into the woods, and they describe it as looking like a, they say it almost looks like a giant human eyeball.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, but, and when I saw a video and an account of it and I was like, okay, tinfoil time, like give me a fucking break. But then when you hear the tape, it's not like, look, we're all seeing a giant human. They're just like likening the shape
right.
to a human. So once I heard the tape, I was like, okay, that's a little bit less crazy. Yeah.
Which what makes me mad is that super skeptic guy fucking did a thing on it. He was like, this seems like nothing out of the ordinary. Like, bitch, this fucking guy.
But yeah,
because they tried to say, oh, the debunkers, are, there was a lighthouse like not that far away.
Right.
Like, there's a difference between a lighthouse at the beach spinning through the fucking trees and someone thinking there's a red molten eyeball dripping lava.
Talking on a tape saying that kind of looks like, and you know, and on the tape, they're like, is it still dripping those lights? And they're like, yes, it is, sir.
Like you can come like, towards you us. This like, is, they just keep saying, this is really weird.
I mean,
this is really weird.
I always confuse a lighthouse with a UFO.
With a giant dripping human eyeball. Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, that's a lighthouse.
It's because you never saw a lighthouse before.
I never did.
You didn't realize it looks like
right,
a giant
exactly.
UFO. Yeah.
So then at that point, the light apparently, another light appears in the sky. There's just like fucking light.
Because that one
madness.
Breaks into pieces. They said they
broke
tried
into
to
five white lights.
They tried to pursue it, broke into five white lights and like disappeared or something. And then after that, three lights appeared in the sky and started like spotlighting locations, including
and again,
the nuclear.
I saw two different things. I saw one that said it was two lights. I saw one that said it was three lights. Mm-hmm. But they said that it was like they were half moon shaped and that once they started to get closer to them, they merged into being full circles of light,
right?
And that they were in the sky for an hour.
Well, because I have his memo right here, and he said that in through a 10 to 12 magnification microscope, they looked like they were half like half circles or elliptical,
right?
Through the binoculars, but that there was like two. This is his memo. He said it was three objects, and that they were spotlighting. Especially, they were spotlighting the spot where they thought the nuclear fucking missiles were.
And that was the thing. So they said that the lights that were in the sky were shining like pencil thin beams of light down onto the ground repeatedly.
What they said they could describe only as like lasers, because they didn't even really use the term light. They were like it was like a laser, I guess. Like
laser pointer.
Yeah. And again, this is 1980, so there wasn't a whole,
You know, it's kind of funny, like, these aliens are coming down and, like, trying to show us shit, and it's like a game of Pictionary, but we're too stupid to figure out what they're telling us,
Well,
you know?
They said they were scared when that light came down. These guys are fucking idiots.
Yeah.
When the light comes down out of something floating, they said, I don't know, is it a form of communication? Is it a weapon? Should I be scared? Should I help? Like, I talk to it? Is it going to get me?
I mean, if you're going to go out, you might as well go out getting killed by aliens.
Yeah, you might as well.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. So those are in the air for an hour. There's two radar pings. There's a radar ping from each Air Force base that picked up like
that, this is, and that came out later though, that those guys retired and then said like, oh yeah, we had radar pickup.
Oh, the radar pickup was a later detail.
They're like, okay. the guys retired from the Air Force and then they were like, yeah, we had radar on it.
Right.
So,
So the Halt memo, and again, I'll put a link to where the full memo is. There's like a full like photograph of the actual memo. I'm holding it.
Yeah, it's weird to me to think like this was some top secret shit.
That was some shit that this guy fucking typed out. And it's like, it's very military. It's very matter of fact. And he's like, you can, like, even the tone of it is kind of like, what the fuck, guys?
Yeah, to have this in your hand now, you're like, ooh.
Yeah. It's like he sent that up the chain to be like, this is what I, and it's not, he's very professional in the memo. He's not like shitting his pants. He's like, it's kind of coming off as like, are you going to tell me this is some top secret thing? Fact. Like, is this
can I have Soviet information?
Yeah, what
it's
the
amazingly
fuck?
Brief. It's just like subject unexplained lights, and there's only three paragraphs.
Yeah, it's like, because he had to report to somebody,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, hey, we went out there under investigation. This is what
and
we
they didn't
saw.
Dig this up until way fucking later because all these people had all these claims and it disappeared into history. And this is what brought it back was this memo.
Right.
Someone dug through the Freedom of Information
Act
and got this memo.
Yeah.
This memo, I guess he said he wished he would have fucking burned it and it never existed because people bugged the shit out of him about it. And this is what brought everything. This is the one like binding piece of evidence that puts any validity to anything that brought everything together.
Right.
Because it's an actual Air Force document.
And then they, UFO researchers, a guy named, Sam Morgan ended up finding an old copy of the Holt tape that was out there, which linked everything together even more. So again, that tape is pretty verified as being legit. That memo is a legit military memo. There's tons of eyewitnesses.
I heard on the tape there was 10 seconds of Cheech and Chong and it faded out the first prints.
You're an ass.
That's what makes it weird. They weren't even out yet.
Yeah. So those are the facts of what was happening at the time. But again, shit gets a little bit crazy. So this guy, Nick Pope in 2011, and he was the guy who was the former head of the British Ministry of Defense's UFO project, which to me made me go, oh fuck, I should give this guy some extra credibility. But it seems like he released a book with Pendleton and Burroughs, and that's when all this extra fucking weird embellishment came out and it sort of starts to lose its credibility.
Yeah.
Which is weird because it seems like this guy, if he used to work for the fucking British government in UFO land, would have added credibility, not sunk the credibility. But I guess that's, everybody's looking for a buck.
There's always the smear campaign, you know what I mean? Yeah. So who knows? But it seems like, why isn't this in the original thing? Like, they would just, or maybe at this point during the Halt letter or whatever, the Halt memo, maybe they're like, this is like going to fuck our careers. Let's just tame this shit down a little bit and say we saw some lights.
You know, and that's what I was thinking. Like early on, I'm like, why is all this shit coming out later? But you're right. Like the thing with the radars, you know, like these guys retired and then they're like, there's some validity to this.
Right.
Because now we're retired. And we don't have to worry about.
There's claims of sodium pentothal and fucking like regressive fucking all kinds of crazy stuff. Did you find any of that?
Yeah. Halt claimed that all the men who saw it were like taken in and given like intense interrogations with fucking sodium pentothal. And he claimed that they were like, they went through like weird hypnotic suggestion shit. And they thought that they were like adding and removing memories into the people's minds.
The guy Larry Warren that I saw in his interview said that like he remembers most of the incident really clear. But he has this weird event where there's like 2 days lost that they had to tell him he was unaccounted for 2 days. And he has about 20 minutes of clear memories from that 2 days. And that all he remembers is like sitting in a room with like a TV of some sort or a projector where he saw something.
Yeah.
And then he remembers being in like a mess hall where he was supposed to be eating, but it's super fucking blurry. Just like these little shot images of about 20 minutes over 2 days.
That's kind of what makes me think that like... It was something that we did. You know what I mean? Almost like they could have gave these guys those images. Something happened.
The extreme claims.
It was some sort of project.
It could be something crazy. Like under every military base, there's a fucking alien base. You know what I mean? And we're working hand in hand.
Right.
So, cause the Larry Warren, I don't know if you're going to get into that at all. Like the major claim, did you see what his claim was?
The underground
bases for one, but he's kind of like, just that he was taking.
I didn't see a whole lot about Larry Warren, to be honest. Cause the articles that I read were like, then Larry Warren said all this stuff, but most of it doesn't match up with any of the other official accounts. And he's mostly, you know,
so I mean, the guy is super believable, but yeah, I don't know. So he says he was stationed there and he's got names of fucking the weapon and when he was issued and his military time.
But he was part of the RAF, right?
I don't remember. Exactly.
Was he British?
He threw out a lot of acronyms. He's not British.
Okay.
He's American. He's okay. Like an old school fucking biker that joined the military from Vietnam.
For some reason, under the impression he that he stationed was there.
You can look it up. Larry Warren, and it's an interview about the Reynolds Shrimp Forest.
He sits there
and talks to a guy, and a lot of people involved in the incident say they don't recall him even being there. But he was like, Joe Bob was next to me. What's his name was on fucking guard tower. This was my commanding officer. Like a bunch of crazy shit. So he says they made it through following the lights to a clearing in the forest, and they arrived in an opening in a field, and that there was a mist that was about 3 feet high from the ground up, and it was 20 feet, if I'm recalling correctly from his words, in diameter, a mist of some sort, like a bluish green mist on the ground, and that there were already people that were like senior officers,
right,
and he said it seemed to be that there was a protocol for what was happening. It seemed very organized, except for the few people that were not in the know, and they were just following orders and just fucking chilling. They said that from the sea, he saw a red light approach, like a ball, a sphere, approach and then end up in the middle of that mist and sphere. And they were staring at it, and he said he was about 15 feet away from this thing. And that at some point, he said, maybe I missed something, but it shape-shifted into what would be a structure, as far as I can tell. What's cool is he doesn't commit to anything, like, which means like if you're gonna fucking lie, but that could be his alibi.
Right.
He doesn't really commit hard line to anything. He's like, it turned into a structure that he would describe as like maybe a craft of some sort. But he said it was really hard to look at. That when you would look at it, you would lose focus, and it was almost blurred, and it was constantly changing, and there was all these
kind of like fluorescent lights.
Yeah, he said it was like color was happening inside of it, and he couldn't really discern what the shape was. And he said off of that, he described it like blowing bubbles, like when you blew a bubble out of the bubble,
coloring ring. Yeah.
Well, how the bubble comes off and separates off the ring. That object divided into three lights before his eyes while they were
standing
there.
So it was almost liquid looking.
Yeah, and it turned into these three lights that became, he said the guy next to him was like, it's like there's kids. He's like, there's kids. What are there? Are those kids? He's like, it looks like there's kids. But it was beings of light is all he would describe it as. And they kept asking him like, how did you feel? He's like, I didn't feel anything. I wasn't scared. I wasn't mad. I wasn't sad. He's like, I was just kind of in awe. Yeah. And before that, though, I skipped a part. It like shot out these fucking, he called them shards of light in the perimeter of that circle, to the point that it like burned his retina. He had like welder's burn on his eyes, and damn, he has his medical records that show that he got fucking burned.
I could have helped him with that with the mashed potatoes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's soothing. I mean, it might not fix it, but it is soothing. Yeah. It takes the pain away.
Nothing else. He could have got China eyes.
Yeah. But he saw these beings of light, and they're like, did anyone communicate? And then he's like, no, I didn't say anyone communicated. There was no contact made. It was just these beings of light that, as best I could say, were the size of children. They're like 3 foot tall, 1 foot off the ground in this light, and all this shit happened. And then it fucking was like, went back together and fucking took off. And when he went back for fucking debriefing and shit, this whole sodium pentothal thing happened where there's 20 minutes.
Well, and he says he thinks it's the NSA that did that, that fucked with their memory, which I believe that shit.
We know that shit happened.
Yeah. Well, like this documentary right here,
NSA, it was OSI. It was the Office of Special Investigations in the UK, which is like their super secret.
Yeah. It says that he suggested, it didn't say, and it says the NSA and or other organizations utilized various techniques, with the assistance of drugs, hypnosis, and tampering with his memory. That's fucking insane. And that's something that the government would do. And if that truly happened, that's what makes me think that, you know, the government does know about it.
But the part that was cool to me was like that there was a protocol, that there was like an operating procedure for this.
I had one of the things I read about Larry Warren was that one of the claims he made was that the euphonauts, the little light babies or whatever they are, were actually humans from the future who came back.
Right.
Did he say anything? I didn't see that, and
I didn't see him claim that. He didn't make any extravagant claims. Those are extravagant claims.
And I didn't see him say it, but one of the articles indicated that was one of the things that he had said at some point. And then when people were looking at the binary code and saying, because it said the year 8100, that they were like, there it is. Like, that's, they're from the year 8100.
Do you guys see the original photo of the lights?
No.
Yeah, it's just like from his point of view, I guess, the lights, it's just the three It's like a dot with three dots under it. Like, but that'd be far away and it'd be hard to discern what. Yeah.
I'm under the impression it's a binary solo that they came back. They're the Stallions. What is it? The fucking Stallions from the future. Save us. The Wild Stallions. Yeah. And the music has progressed to such a point. You know, think about music in the 50s versus music now, like dubstep or something. In the future, you have a binary solo.
Right.
And so it's just 0011001.
Exactly. Yeah. Like that guy's fucking riffing. Did you hear those zeros? Yeah.
Fly the Conchords credit.
So the other, like one other thing, and it's one of the details that's sort of one of the hard facts that I think is in there, is that during that initial investigation that Holt resent out into the woods, the Geiger counter at the spot of the three landing indentations, right, or whatever the indentations were, I'm assuming landing would be, everybody refers to it as landing gear indentations, right, but there was a higher radiation level at each of the three touchdown points and in the center. And then that
there
weird,
always is.
There that were lines weird, on the tree or something.
Well, yeah, that was some of the other physical evidence that I completely forgot about. The thermal camera was picking up very strange hot spots at night when they were out there where the lights were. Mm-hmm. And that next, the morning of the 26th, when he sent those four guys back out, where the clearing was, where the ship was supposed to have landed, all the branches all the way up the trees were broken off.
Yeah, I did read
something too. Went
so, there's even photos, like military photos of like all the broken branches that are like spray painted as in, you know, to show where the branches were broken off as if something dropped in and something.
I mean, I'm asking you this because you should know. But are aliens actually using radiation? Like, that's where it gets me. Like, it's something from this Earth.
I think it has to do with their propulsion. No,
well, I'm just physics, saying, like, it's physics, something. Man. I mean, like, not necessarily.
Well, yeah, like, on
it's another, only what we know.
I know. Well, yeah, we don't know. But on another planet, like, if there's a fucking radioactive fucking core propulsion, radiation is radiation.
Yeah, but I mean, it seems so old.
Yeah, that's part of my. It's like.
It would be some unidentifiable. Technology. Yeah, it would be. I think it would be like, oh, there's something here, but we don't know how to read it. Like we would have this
Parsons
magic.
We can't. We don't have a Parson detector.
We have a Geiger counter that just. Oh yeah, and it's high right here. Right. Like it just seems so old. And
I'll put it this way though, like earthly. We wouldn't. It's like. It just seems ridiculous for us to have a craft that's emitting radiation because all it's going to do is fucking kill everybody.
Right.
Yeah. But if there's,
I mean, we have radioactive power plants though, and that might
be
the
power. But if there was
they may have overcome this.
Right. It might be a radiation that doesn't impact them at all.
It just seems,
in which
it just
case
seems,
they don't give
it
a
just
shit.
Seems something from the Earth. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
They're always like, oh, there's this, this meteor came down and there's this something on it that we don't even know what it is. You know, like it seems
the only
like
way we had to test. Like now we would be like, is there a Wi-Fi? Man, they got G. They got fucking N. They got N Wi-Fi. Holy shit. But in the 80s, we would have no idea that Wi-Fi even existed coming out of that craft.
Well, I'd like to see something more because like right now, whenever anybody can detect radiation, they'll end up isolating an isotope and they're like, oh, this came from that power plant. End of discussion.
Yeah. Right.
Like I'm waiting for like a modern day case where they're like, fuck, but we can't trace where this radioactive element came from anywhere on Earth.
Yeah. And it just seems like what I'm saying is I'm not arguing the fact that they, you know, it's not possible for some sort of alien craft to be using radiation. I'm just saying 1980 radiation seems kind of,
I think it's
old age
par for the course.
You know what I mean?
Think like, what they were doing was testing with the faculties they had about them. They had like a tape recorder. They had a thermal camera. They had a fucking night vision and they had radiation.
I understand
and
that.
And they're like, hey, something showed up on this one.
It just seems like all of these alien, you know, spacecraft, you know, things that they're like, oh yeah, there's radiation right here.
Right.
Oh, it's higher in the area where this was, you know, this seems to be where the propulsion source came from.
They could have been checking
with
dowsing rods and been like, there's water under this fucking landing spot.
Yeah. I don't know.
So did you guys hear anything about the weird underground stuff that was allegedly discovered?
So there's like really mixed stuff about that. Even what's his name, Larry Warren, was like, I'm not sure about underground, to be honest. I feel like I was in an underground base, but at this point, I'm really not sure what happened.
Well,
if you're missing
because this doesn't have anything to do with the soldiers themselves. There was a guy named Daniel Simpson who directed a movie called The Rendlesham UFO Incident. And it was a fictional movie that was trying to tell the story of it or whatever. And they filmed it in the Rendlesham Forest, et cetera. Because right now there's actually the British government has a thing called the UFO trail. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, since it's,
you know, but I guess like that forest doesn't actually exist anymore. There's like some trees, but that actual forest got destroyed at some point between here and there.
All the radiation.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But this guy, in his movie, ended up filming all this stuff. And he said that at one point, and I don't know when the movie came out, but he said that at one point while he was filming there, they discovered, he discovered weird hatches that were in the forest, and he ended up allegedly getting the forestry service to come and open them, and they had to pry them open. I forget what I'm trying to find the term. The
forestry service really doing that?
Because he said that, like, he said the forestry service said that it was that
maybe
it was,
that's not military property. That was between the two bases.
Oh, okay, so,
right, yeah. exactly. And he said that it was they ended up using a tow truck to pull one of the hatches open.
Right.
The forestry service did. And he said that it was drainage systems for the air bases, and that mm-hmm. they have very elaborate drainage systems to keep, cause it's near wetlands and stuff. And it was all to keep.
See, that's my thing though. Like, couldn't you use the drainage systems to get into the Air Force bases? Like, why would they just go and open those hatches?
It took a tow truck. Russians don't bring tow trucks.
And allegedly there were nuclear weapons on the site.
Right.
So it's there was some underground shit there for sure. But this guy, anyway, this, what the fuck did I say his name was? Daniel Simpson. He said, this is a quote from him. He said, quote, "I recently heard a very interesting story from a gentleman that went up to the Bentwater Air Base, and because it's privately owned, some of those buildings are rented out to people now. A company up there wanted to have their internet sorted out, and this guy dug down, and he was a telecom guy. He came back, and he was sheet white. He couldn't believe it. He said he'd just come across these cables 2 feet down, and they were cables delivering such a powerful internet connection, but they were cables from 1980. I haven't ever told anyone that story. The cables from 1980, yet they were so in advance of what we've even got now."
How does he know they're from 1980?
I have no fucking idea.
And how are you testing them?
Right, exactly.
Like, you're like these cables you've never seen before, and you're testing the internet speed.
Exactly.
Of it?
Yeah. Anyway, that's what this fucking guy said, and I was like, okay, I'm just reporting the facts.
Luckily, it still uses the same connector.
Yeah,
claims to have happened. Yeah.
Wow, this is the fastest fiber I've ever seen.
So yeah, I think it's a really interesting case, because it seems that with that Holt recording, the Holt memo, multiple people from two governments, plus a police force, plus civilians, all accounted similar things. There's just tons of eyewitnesses, documentation for something that happened in 1980. There's more than there is in almost any case.
Are just burger drive-thrus for the 37th parallel.
Oh,
and they were just trying to get a burger, and all these fucking soldiers showed up. He's like, "Flavor me, take your order."
I'm pissed off about the I'm pissed off about the internet cables. Like, they're being some sort of duct or something. Like, they're
exactly
fucking buried cables. Right, like, wow.
But it's like I said,
2 feet down. Come on.
Once those two main guys ended up getting with the whatever the fuck his name was, Pendleton or whatever.
Let's go with Pendleton.
He ended up getting
Pedalstein.
He ended up having hypnotic regression and started to recall all this extra shit.
You know what's funny though is what could happen? They really saw what they saw, and then the government was going in their home. Like, they're not even involved in this anymore, and they go in their home and they take them, they fuck with their brain, give them all these fucking extra ideas and shit about what they saw, and now they come out and it makes them look fucking
just
crazy.
Right, exactly. Yeah, just add a bunch of extra shit to his
just
brain.
It changes the story. It makes it look even crazier.
Right,
and now he's just
binary code in his brain. Yeah. That'll make everybody think he's full of shit.
So they just set him in a room for 3 weeks and fucking made him stare at this code, and it's just burning his fucking brain. They fed it to him. And it's entirely possible happened is what's fucking scary.
Yeah.
Like, that shit, that is what's fucking scary, is that's fucking possible.
I mean, that's far more possible than aliens.
And I want there to be aliens. Right. Like, I think it's fucking awesome.
Right.
Everything was fine until they started coming out with all this different shit, and it's entirely possible that the government said, "Nah, we're just going to go ahead and pull these guys back in here, give them some memories and fucking."
It's the classic mushrooms in your Lucky Charms.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is that we did the MK Ultra episode. It's fucking real.
Exactly.
They can fucking erase your memory. Yeah.
It's called UK Ultra over there.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So my take on it is, I think some shit was in the sky.
Yeah, I believe so.
On the 26th, 27th of December, 1980.
Yeah, Santa.
Right where two Air Force base / nuclear missile sites were. Personally, I believe Holt when he says that he was upset because all of the accounts from just 2 hours ago had already been listed as top secret and shipped off of base.
I find it crazy that all these UFO sightings, especially these major ones, happen around Air Force bases. I mean, we've had experiences where we live at, but we live near Air Force Base.
But again, that's the thing. Roswell, like,
fucking this one, you know, like.
So they're flying some experimental fucking British / US craft in 1980. And everybody knows that their launch, all the upper ups know what's happening. Yep. So as soon as these soldiers show up at 3 a.m. saying, we just saw these crazy lights, they're like, top secret, grab those fucking reports, send them to the main guy over in Spain.
Maybe there was a new secretary and she just dropped it in the top secret bin instead. By accident. There's two things. It's like normal stuff, top secret, damn it.
They saw that shit at 3 a.m. They were back at the base by like 4:30. Holt gets on shift at 5 and the shit's already top secret.
Right.
That implies foreknowledge.
Yeah,
that
knew.
Implies someone was already looking.
Yeah, it wasn't looked at in the next day.
No, it was like, secret. Oh, they just filed that. Grab that shit, please. Yeah.
Anything that comes out about these lights,
right?
It's going top secret. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's exactly. I think you're right.
Right.
I think.
But again, it could have been a fucking spy thing. The Soviets might have been coming in and they knew it. It could have been. I don't know. I'm not on board with the alien hypothesis on this, but I think some fucked up shit was there.
If you look at the picture too, like I said, that was supposedly an original, like the actual footage or actual film picture of that, right. The lights, that thing was so far away and it's dark.
Yeah.
It could have just been fucking lights. You know what I mean? Like some sort of light
even
show.
With our badass smartphones, have you tried to like look at the moon? It fucking sucks. You can't get any pictures. Yeah. Like, so back in the 80s, you had that little thin camera that you like wind up and click.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's going to be grainy. Yeah. It's fucked. Yeah.
And they think the moon landing pictures look like that Time magazine cover.
Mm-hmm. Well, my thing is, I was telling somebody about, I was like convincing one of my work buddies that I was like, you know, everybody believes all this shit. And I was like, I'm not the craziest conspiracy theory. You know what I mean? Like fucking believe that all, you know, believe
and
all
this
shit.
And you're crazier than 90%.
Yeah.
Right.
But the thing is though, like what's happening is though that like, you know, I don't know. I think there's so many unsaid things out there. Like, oh, we have a rover that's going past Pluto right now, and it's giving us images and coming back, and it's going to spin around the rings of Saturn, and it gets there faster. How the fuck are they transmitting data through space that far away when we can't even travel there?
Well, it just takes.
You know what
time.
I mean?
It's just longer.
Does it?
Yeah.
I mean, how though? Like that's the thing. We don't have wireless communications that can go across the United States, let alone fucking millions of miles away.
Magnets. How do those work?
I guess.
Well, it's in
miracles. Just saying. Miracles around me every day.
But I mean, in space, there's nothing to block the transmission. It's just going out in all directions.
It could be nothing to transmit the transmission. If you
that's
think
the
about
thing,
it.
Though. Like,
how was it touching to touch the next thing?
It has to
There's
have
no
some
ladder.
Sort of...
How is it climbing through space, Dave, with no handles?
I'm just saying.
It's turtles all
I'm
the way
I'm just saying,
down.
You can give it an explanation, or you can ask what the fuck is happening. You
Dark
know,
like, matter bubbles. That's how it
I'm
works.
Just saying.
Like, no, I get you. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. It's one of those things, like thinking about the universe. You're like, damn, like you can think so far, your brain hurts, you know, where it just stops. You know,
I want to talk to Will Smith and Cheech Marin. That's all I know.
So I will,
they probably know who you are. Already.
If you're into this case, definitely look at the show notes. Cause I'll post a couple of links to the Holt memo, to that recording, all that stuff. So you can take a look at, cause when I was reading accounts of it, I was like, this gets really wackadoo really fast. But once I actually listened to tape, I was like, no, I think the YouTube videos are trying to make it sound extra wackadoo.
Yeah.
Playing creepy music when you listen to the tape. It's like I said, it's like that almost looks like an eyeball, huh? It's like, yeah, I guess so. Like, it's not like, look, a giant eyeball. Like, I don't know. I thought the tape
people
actually
put their,
lent
people
more
put their,
credibility.
Maybe well, they found I Mordor. So.
Maybe.
All seeing eye.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. Sponsors.
I fucked you up. You're going to say something. That just broke it all.
Yep.
Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. They are our primary sponsor. If you haven't tried them, try them. They got all kinds of stuff, man. There's red, there's green, there's fucking Caribbean, there's black, there's triple X, there's jalapeno, there's chipotle, there's all kinds of crazy flavors, man. Delicious. It's like Skittles. If hot sauce was Skittles, that'd be it, man. That's and you right. can get it at your grocery store. They have it at Target. They have it at Walmart. You can get it at mexgrocer.co.uk. That's some website that fucking has to love us. We're sending all kinds of crazy Canadians there, man.
You know? And if you want to meet us, Brent and Dave will be at House of Blues in Chicago.
That's right. Brad will be there, you son of a bitch. Don't joke around with people, man. Brad's going this time.
Am I?
Yeah.
I said my hologram is going to be great. Fucking paid for, man.
You're going on this one. Yeah. So yeah, December, when was it? Say it again. December 9th. 9th. At the House of Blues from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. 2
a.m. to 5 a.m.
No, don't fuck around, man. But I'll tell you what, that's when we'll be there, man, because we're not going anywhere. We can't go home. We're
party
in fucking Chicago. And it's cold outside.
Yeah, party, we're going to be hanging out. The party starts at 5 p.m.
Yeah, we'll be hanging out for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, the official event will be over at 5, but we're not going home, man.
Basically, we have the ballroom at the House of Blues.
I don't know if it's called the ballroom. Yeah, whatever it's called.
It will be by the time we're done with
the conference. Yeah. Oh yeah.
We have a room reserved at the House of Blues.
I mean, us three are bringing crotchless panties, man, but I don't know about the rest of y'all, but it will be the ballroom when we get there. Yes. So, but look up plane tickets, man. We got plenty of time right now to plan in advance. If you got a little bit extra money, come and see us. We're not charging you to see us. That's the airlines, but it'd be fun to meet everybody.
Yeah. Sell some stuff on Etsy, go on eBay, get rid of some of your fucking blankets.
We're definitely probably going to give away some stuff. We'll meet you there. Last time Elio Cateco fed like Elio Cateco infused macaroni and they made crazy pictures.
I'll get Brent drunk and he'll sing. Mm-hmm. We got a little karaoke machine.
Last time I had to be responsible and drive home and stuff. So who knows what happens this time.
That's true. Hotel rooms. True, yeah. I'm going to have to carry him out like I married him.
Yep.
I'm not opposed to that. Fine. Carry me across the threshold. Hit my head on the door though, man.
I will.
Knock me out. I don't want to feel a thing. I don't want to remember a thing. Thank you to Elio Cateco Hot Sauce. Thank you to printdirtcheap.com. You can use code SOFAKING to save some money. They have printed goods there. Go check them out if you need anything printed, like stickers for your podcast. Thank you to Daleon Graphics for our t-shirts and for our koozies. We sell those at SOFAKINGpodcast.com/shop, along with stickers and mugs and all kinds of stuff. And speaking of mugs, those are from Digital Creations. They make all of our one-off heat transfer stuff. We had a couple orders this week. They had a couple orders this week on behalf of us. If you need anything cool like that, they do photo gifts and all kinds of stuff. If you've got a picture of it, they can put it on something. So hit them up on Facebook at digitalcreations.bakersfield. And thank you, last but not least, to Dan Camrio of Camrio Jiu Jitsu, the alleged baby arm hunter, as he's known now in his older years, because he's slowed down.
I was going to say,
he's going to break my arm on probably, the street. Yeah, I'm going to run into him in the grocery store. He's going to choke me out by the avocados.
Yeah, he's going to foot sweep you and fucking arm bar you. Right,
he's like, oh, sorry, bro. Foot didn't sweep see you right there. Into arm I bar. Thought I saw a bug. Yeah. I was trying to step on a bug, but you're on the ground.
The thing is, though,
I thought your arm was a snake.
The thing is, though, we already made up for it on the bonus episode we released yesterday, where we said all those really nice things about Dan.
Oh, that's right.
So I mean, we've kind of already made up for it.
Yeah,
so.
See, don't beat me up yet, man. It could get better.
I was like,
it already did get better. This is Friday.
Oh, that's right.
We already got better.
He just hasn't heard.
Wait, you're making promises yesterday. Before you've done them. This is not going to work out good.
That was a great episode, though. The Thursday one,
especially the Dan part. I mean, like,
yeah.
I don't even want to go into it. I don't want to go into it. Yeah.
I remember.
Because I don't want a conflict. I can't quite remember what we said. And I don't
remember this episode,
great.
Guys.
It was great.
I do not remember.
It was one of our best.
Yeah. Was it?
Absolutely.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I have to listen to it. I'm not going to listen to it.
Oh, well, just listen to it in a minute when we record
it. I would also
like
to mention real quick, for one, if you love us, support us at patreon.com/SOFAKINGpodcast. But the other thing is... if you're going to ask questions about the questions and answer episode, listen to the fucking other questions and answers episode.
So there's three questions and answers episodes.
And they're pretty short, honestly. Like, just go listen to those, you sons of bitches. You're asking questions that have been answered.
Yeah.
Just like when you ask a question about, like, when are we going to do a Sandy Hook episode?
Yeah.
Fuck out of here, contest, sir.
Yeah. And there's a search engine on the website. When you go to the episodes, there's a search box. It says search.
I know your fingers are tired.
Search. Yeah.
Playing with yourself, but you have fucking sausage type fingers. A little bit, man.
I think even if you have sausage fingers and you mistype something, it'll still work it out to where it'll show you the episodes.
I like how at the end of episodes, Brent gets really pissed off about a lot of stuff.
I got some shit weighing on my mind, man. Motherfuckers.
It's pretty great.
Well, it's because when you get 1,000 messages about fucking, hey, you guys should do this episode, and you're like, use a fucking search button.
Copy, paste, bitch. Damn it.
You spent 15 minutes messaging us back and forth about this episode.
That, and if you want to, I'm going to say this right now one more time. If you want to submit a topic, that's awesome. That's super helpful to us. There's shit we haven't heard of, and that's how we find
out.
And
we're not being dicks.
No.
We're not being dicks. Shit gets lost.
If you email it to me, and then you send an Instagram, or you post it under a post and tag me on Facebook.
It gets lost.
I don't know who it was last week, but they fucking tagged me. And it's like, cool. You should probably post this under the pinned post in the group on Facebook where the suggestions go. Yeah. Not because I don't give a fuck, but because I'll never be able to find this shit again with everything else going on. And they're like, that's why I tagged you. I'm like, no, go fuck yourself.
It's a tag. Never you look at it. It's
I
gone
saw it right now. And then it's gone. And
it's because people get tagged and stuff and they'll go back to their Facebook and be like, oh, it's right there.
Yeah.
When you have 500 different fucking people tagging you and shit and fucking this post you're commenting or following on is fucking, it's too much.
It's hard. You can't. That's why we're just asking you, please put it in that one spot and then everyone can vote on it. So go in the group, put it in that spot and mind your fucking manners in the group.
What we're saying is we're famous.
Yeah.
Okay.
At this point, it's gotten hard for correspondence. We love you, but damn, help us out.
We're not saving
bit.
Any we're pussy to, for the rest
yeah,
of you guys.
Yeah. We're doing this for you. So help us out a little bit and just put those posts in there.
Yeah. And you can add, I've noticed that too. People want to add to it. They're like, hey, on the next update, can you guys add this to it? No,
you can
there's
add
an
topics.
Add button. You can yourself. This is managed by you. It's for you, by
Although,
you. It's like
won't have a it won't have a chance to get voted to the top or something, but we pick shit from the bottom sometimes because the shit at the top's got nothing.
Yeah, sucks balls because whoever put it on there is an idiot and the rest of the people that voted for it are stupid too.
Yeah.
Do a little research, guys.
All right.
All right. Anyway, good episode.
Still give us money even though we just yelled at you, yeah. All right, that's all I got.
For the record, I didn't yell at you, so give me extra money.
Patreon.com/Dave.
Yeah.
That's right.
I don't know who that guy is, but
care of Dave. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Remember, don't be a retard.
Yeah. It's real now. Let's speak out. Fuck your weak views. Take 2 minutes to peer from my optics. I'm feeling and making a killing, feeling and filling up my pockets. Masquerading like Paul, pause for the profit. No religious affiliation, man, stop it. Half tall, grey, half monstrous. How you gonna stop this? I don't need to cop clips once I drop this in the stove. And I whip a slow, give you all the did in my flow. You look a little timid, though, as I sit and scribble notes and alchemist. Still make it apparent, this isn't for the gold. I was born in 97, so fuck your profession. Don't know where my head is. Treasure forever hidden, just so I don't get sex. Smoking organic, I'm making you panic, man. Fuck all that peace chat. But I got out by the tap, tap, tap. Speak up, bye, speaking slang. Got your vision up, telling us you don't need a man. So what does that mean? I've been a little bit fucked lately. And I don't wanna be another stereotype. I gotta grow up, man. It's really fucked. 80 years old, thinking of the end of my life. I don't give a fuck for your judgment. You're lucky to only throw punches when I rape. So fucking selfish, I'll admit it. This why this is scripted. I'm not talented or gifted or up and coming. I'm just obsessed with stressing. Fucking running for my lifestyle that I've hated for the way. But I pushed everybody that ever meant anything to me. I rages, wanted to get my dick sucked. Always trying to crack jokes, little sick fuck. Why can't I just appreciate life and smile? If you hate me, it's mutual. The sound of your body hitting the ground would be beautiful. I'm like a movable object in God's head, and I'll still be in my cuticle, still doing all the things that I used to do. Crucially, my hatred was created in the crucible. Alone in this dank fuck, I put my head up at the cubicle. Gotta make it apparent that I lost a parent when I never had him. That it was a no-show when the pain burned out. Slow, deadbeat, big brother. Can't even tell my mum when I bumped it that I love her. Wish it was the way it was when I was making dents out of boxes and couples box. My destiny, not a fucking one-hit wonder. Make sure you remember this. Better end up better than Devlin. Put your bets in the devil in my pen again. I'm meddling, symbol of petulance. Gotta get it in. I'm the mercury in me. So-called veterans, medicines. Skipping my selfish ways. More brain spread on a page. So I put my soul in a song, so it me like an arm. But I'm never calling that bitch back. Smoking my Afghan on an app. And I went through it all in the fucking past. Never again. Never again, man. SMFDM, MFDM, man. Save on like a hate vote back in your face. Hardly a subliminal dunks, and I'm still feeling old, hardly stereo. Typical, taking it back. I would have walking at the pace, the grace. Still never sit across class. Abuse my intuition. I see the weak when these MCs are spitting. What the fraudulent void against lips. I'm slipping. I really wish I were in prison. Falling victim to the system. Just a social condition. I'm fixed in between genius and insanity. Never shed a tear when my goal passed. Cause I had to be doctors. One done my bit of baby. Then they fucking listen. Good old Uncle Henry. Boy. Saw myself in her. Is it lying, stolen, cheated anybody or anything? I'm acting like a Mars and it doesn't sold this soul for the substance, but fuck it. To grip this fucking mate like a vulture. I just wish I got the chance to say I loved them.
pursue this fucking soul for the substance. But man, fuck it. Long as I rep this, mate, like the fucking Vulcan. I just wish I got the chance to say I loved them. Man, fucking sold the soul for the substance. But man, fuck it.